Welcome to the Art Talk podcast, where I discuss the stories that help us accomplish to be better artists as well as better art entrepreneurs. I am Karin Merks, your host, and I'm artist, art entrepreneur, and art coach or teacher. This is episode 40 of Art Talk, and today I have a very special guest who started with a series when she was a teenager. And in between her other writings, an MA at King's College, teaching at a college, writing more novels, plays, and an academic book on Michael Jackson, she kept exploring this series that recently landed the fifth book. Welcome, Liz. What an accomplishment.
Thank you so much, Karin. It's a really honor to be here. It's really a great honor to be here with you on Art Talk. I love the show.
Thank you. I love to have you. But what an accomplishment for you as an author at such a young age, knowing that many start at your age with writing and can say when they're 60 years old that they have built a legacy. You already built a legacy, which is amazing. I mean, Sakados series is just the part that we take out now, Sakados Mysteries. So I want to start with a quote that really got me when I started reading the Sakados series. Clara shut her eyes tight. "He's going to come back," she told herself. "He's going to get better." She was 15 years old. I had like, wow, that's a lot, because you start your book with, "For all the children who fight in wars and for the wars we fight within ourselves." And I had like, this is such a war that a 15-year-old is already fighting. So were you 15 when you started to write this?
I think I was about 17. Mm-hmm. I think I was about 17 when I started to really form it as the Sakados Mysteries, yeah.
But that's still young, right?
Yeah, it is. But there's a lot of people who have started books young, such as Christopher Paolini. He started his Eragon series very young.
So it's not a new thing that you take your series and take that with you in your backpack and carry that along in your life and keep adding to it.
I think it's makes something that makes me unique. I think it's a very unique thing to do it for this long.
Yeah.
And to almost take this long to do each book. But it's been really a really wonderful journey. I really enjoyed the continuity of the series. And you know, one of the things that I did was that when I was in my early 20s, I changed my middle name to Kailara because I didn't want to get a tattoo, but I wanted to get something permanent. So, you know, like authors would, you know, often get like tattoos and like permanent reminders of their books, things that remind them of the novel that they've written. And I chose to have my name changed to Kailara.
Wow. That's amazing. That's a great way to really tie this into your memory as an author, right?
Yeah, it's just something really powerful that just like speaks to me, and it's something that I know that I am aware of, kind of thing.
Yeah. So this whole the whole series is based on a world that you created yourself. You came up with amazing things, and we go into that. But when you create a fantasy world, is there any structure you create up front? And a world with, in your case, cities, Terra Magna, the cities of Terra Magna. And you may, do you make that first to set to give the characters a stage, or is this growing incrementally?
The story came first. Excuse me. The story came first. The story was what mattered, And then the characters were moving around in the world that I set for them. And then as that world grew and the characters started to move, so for example, in Gifted Blood, I'm not in Gifted Blood, in Arcane Rising, Kailara goes to a city called Marda, and she visits a friend there, her boyfriend, Xavier Leston. As I was moving through the world, I started to feel as though I wanted to build more solidness mm-hmm. to the world. And then that's why I started doing like a lot of companion writing, comprehensive companion writing, to sort of flesh out the different worlds, different cities within the world, and the different worlds within the universe, because there's also different worlds that you can travel to as well. So Kailara has a very kind of insular life. She lives mostly in the Sakados Institute. Then she goes to the Sakados Academy. But there's a much, much bigger world at play. And I spent a lot of time really thinking about that and really going into that in detail.
Yeah, I know. It has a lot of detail. And as it is set out in the different books, I haven't yet finished the last book, but I will get there. it is almost theatrical. I can see stages. And we go into that further because you have an extremely intricate system of traveling. But if you have set that character, so you wrote a companion, you say, are you going to do something? Are you going to publish at one point this companion?
No,
or is that something that is for you personally?
It's just for me personally.
Okay. Does anything of this relate also to your theatrical background?
Yeah, it does a lot. You know, I saw a lot of plays of books on stage. So one of them I saw was Kintsugi's Kingdom. I saw it at the Wickham Swan. And then another one I saw was Lion Boy. I saw that at the Unicorn Theatre, a theatre for children. And I saw a lot of plays of books, so such as Rebecca, and that's the Daphne du Maurier. And when I saw those plays, I feel like that kind of transfers into the writing by osmosis. And I'm working on stage plays of the books as well, mm-hmm. because I really love the stage craft. And I also feel like it's a good jumping off point towards making it into a film.
Oh, yeah. We come to that later because I'm excited about that too. I can see that totally, by the way. The Sakados Mysteries exist of 5 books now. You can see them behind me. I've spread them all out. I have them all. I have them next to me here, all 5. The last one, Gifted Blood, just came out. And you started this in your teenage years. How does it feel for you knowing that you took the main character, Kailara, on a journey growing up with her?
Yeah, she's been like a constant companion to me, you know. The other character that I would say that's been a constant companion to me has been Harry Potter. That was a constant companion in my teens and in my early 20s because the books, I was the same age as Harry was when the first book came out. And it was in, you know, it was in the late 2000s that the last book came out. But Kailara has been a constant companion to me. You know, as I've grown up, all through my 20s, coming into my 30s, I'm now in my mid-30s now, and she's just always been there. And I really love the journey that she goes on, because it's a really big character arc of her discovering herself, discovering her world, and discovering her relationships. So the relationships are the sort of the most important part of the narrative. And I like teenage angst. Mm-hmm. So I really like the Twilight series, the Twilight Saga by Stephanie Meyer. And I really love the whole thing about angst, of like a feeling of like, mm-hmm. should I go there or should I go here? Should I love this person or should I love that person? Who am I going to choose? And I was also really inspired by The Vampire Diaries. I like those as well. I love the show, The Vampire Diaries show.
Yeah.
With Nina Dobrev in it. I'm just really, really impassioned by the journey. And the journey is a long one, but it's, you know, I've got people who are starting to read the series now. Mm-hmm. And they're getting through the books and they are really experiencing in a different way because they've got all five books to get through, yeah. Which is a really nice feeling, you know. And I've got people who are buying the series now, starting from the first one. And that's just a really lovely feeling because they're going on that journey with Kailara as well.
Yeah, and that's great because you can start in the middle. But then you want to go back and start at the beginning because you want to know that journey. And that is so, it's so something so special. And that's something I really wanted to know because if you take this over the years, how do you keep the suspense in every book?
Well, I'm a reader, you know, I'm an avid reader of books. So I have that element of the Sakudos Mysteries where I'm a fan of the books as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a reader of the books. So I'm also waiting to find out what happens.
as a writer yourself?
Yeah, definitely. Because I don't know which way it's going to go.
Yeah, that's amazing. So you changed your, and that's an in-between question, but you changed your middle name to Kailara because you want that memory of this, I think, of this memorable series. Is she ever talking to you?
No.
At a sudden moment that you think, okay, no, not literally, but that you think, oh, that is something Kailara could have done or and write that down as a note? Or is it, doesn't that work like that?
No, it doesn't work like that, no.
Okay. So you chose to write this in a series. And yes, it becomes that over the years that you write it. How would it have been if you had done this in one big book, like the fist-thick things that you sometimes see?
Well, I think that the nature of what I was going for was a series.
Mm-hmm.
I really love the series. Like, for example, I love Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
And that's in three books. And the three books are in two parts each. So I was really going for that kind of idea. And it was originally going to be a trilogy. But when it came to writing the third book, which was supposed to be Disequilibrium, it was still so much story to tell. There was still so much story. And because there was so much story to tell, I thought, okay, I'm just going to let the series run. And it's going to run to eight books now. There's three more to go.
Okay. And
the sixth one comes out next year.
The sixth one. Okay. Amazing. And after that, any idea?
Yeah, one a year.
One a year. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, me too.
You gave every one of your characters a special quality, like a real special quality that I was like, what? So the main character finds out in the first book, and I love that because she doesn't know herself. That suddenly happens, and she is flabbergasted and has no clue what happens.
Yeah.
And then she sees her father too. How do you come up with those gifts?
Well, I love superhero movies. Like, my favorite superhero is Superman. And there was a show I used to watch when I was quite young called Smallville. And that's all about, you know, him discovering his powers, Superman discovering, Clark Kent discovering his powers over time, and the powers kind of happening to him rather than him embracing them at first, and then the powers coming like one at a time. So the X-ray vision and the power of flight doesn't come to him to like really late in the show, in the seasons. But then there's also things like, I used to love watching like I Dream of Jeannie, about witches, you know. And I used to love watching a series that have people with powers and that they don't really know that they have powers. I love that. I love that when people have supernatural abilities, in a fantasy world, and they don't know that. That's one of the things that really I really enjoy, because it means that we go on the journey with them.
Yeah.
With them discovering their abilities.
Yeah. I think it's way more creative than dangling a magic wand with specific powers that you maybe don't know how to handle. But this comes from within. And you say,
yeah,
if people have powers, and I know, because sometimes you can hear or see things and you think like, how is this possible? But you can. I have that.
Yeah,
I can sometimes see and hear things that other don't. And then I think like, what? Am I not really well up there? But that's very normal. And this becomes normal. Yeah.
There are magical objects, especially in the second book, that people utilize. Mm. But you have to be gifted to utilize them.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're one of the gifted.
Exactly. And also the specific cities have their own specialities, but also you have the gifted blood.